Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Hey, just real quick, briefly, I want to give you guys a few dates. I know we're doing Christmas here December 22nd, because we've been asked and we don't have this up on the board yet. Christmas happens to fall on Wednesday this year, which is a normal Wednesday night service. We're actually going to do a service on the 24th. We're going to do a Christmas Eve service. That will be, I believe we're talking about probably at 6:30. We'll do a Christmas Eve service here at 6:30. And then Christmas Day, I know we've already, many people are traveling Christmas Day, but we will hold a Christmas time period service, and we'll be doing that on the 24th, the evening of. So, and we're trying to work on some other details, and I know that, we'll work, and January 1st, we're having church. So, we'll be meeting here on the 1st, January 1st. That'll be on a Wednesday as well. So we will have a January 1st service. So if anybody's asking, I know people travel, people got things going on, but, this is some of the stuff we've kind of been trying to nail down, and excited about our kids program, amen, and they've been working very hard, and you guys, a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of work goes into that, and so we're thankful for Miss Bev and the teams and everybody that's been orchestrating things, and so that's going to be great. It's always a great time to bring people, bring a guest with you to the house of the Lord, amen. Did the bucket already go? Yeah. Just grab that. Justin, go with him if you would, please. So, thank you, guys. That'll be taking place, and then we'll just kind of begin to get that out and announce some things around that. So, praise God. So, you guys ready to get in the Word tonight? If you have your Bibles, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And as we've been in the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters, of Ephesians really deal a lot with who we are. You'll see the remnants of who we used to be, but who we are now in Christ Jesus. And you'll find that the first three chapters deal a lot with who we are now as the new creature in Christ. And so, it's been a great study. And even tonight, it's a privilege and honor to be able to share the Word of God tonight. Let's pray over the Word tonight. I'm going to do that right now. Father, thank you for this Word. I thank you for the Spirit of the Lord, that Father, that's alive and well in each and every one of us. And Father, I thank you that, Father, that Lord, that may we recognize the strength of your Word in our lives, Father, that Lord, that you've called us out of darkness and brought us into this marvelous light. So Father, we thank you. Give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, great vision to see, and give us a heart to receive everything your Word has tonight, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. So just even around Ephesians, we're going to jump into Ephesians 2 tonight, and I want to pick up at verse 8. We kind of finished up through 7 last week, and one of the things about the book of Ephesians, you'll see that there's a central theme, that one of the things that God's doing, through the word here, is he's showing us how we should behave. You guys, there's good behavior and there's bad behavior, right? The old man, the new man. So you'll find that one of the things I love about Ephesians is it's dealing with behavior. And so, if you ever feel like you're maybe getting off course or out of kilter in your life, and you got a stinky attitude. Nobody ever has a stinky attitude, right? Not in here, right? Everybody's top of their game all the time. You got everybody's A+, right? So that's nobody here, but it's your neighbor, it's your friend, it's your cousin, it's your uncle, it's somebody that you don't, somebody else. It's not you. But I wanna get you one thing very quickly in this tonight, is go back to relationship. Anytime you feel like you feel like, hey, I'm out of sorts, or my attitude stinks, or maybe I'm being critical, or maybe I'm being judgmental, go back to relationship, because I promise you this, that if you will position yourself to know him and to know what he's done for you, It brings everything back. It brings your mind back into, oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Amen. And the Lord is a blesser. So always remember that. You know, if you feel like you're getting out of kilter, and you feel like you're working on anything, you know, I love the book of Ephesians because what it does is it shows a person. It's about you finding true identity in Him. Not identity in the world, not identity in a Christian brother or sister, but your identity in Him. Is that something? Was the name? Oh, it was the name? Okay. I seen Dodd's eyes. I thought maybe something was coming here. So, amen. So always remember, go back to relationship. Let's look at verse 8, Ephesians 2:8. I'm just going to read through 2 through 10. Ephesians 2, chapter 8. I'm going to read this out of two different translations. First, New King James Version says, "For grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Now, I'm going to read this out of the NLT as well. And the NLT says, "God saved you by grace when you believed." God saved you by grace when you believed. So when you believed, when you confessed Him, when you called upon Him, He saved you by grace. Powerful, powerful, powerful. And you can't take credit for this. This is out of the NLT. God saved you by grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. I like how that read. It is the gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things He has planned for us long ago. Amen. So just reading it out of two different texts, of course it means the same thing, but sometimes when you see things like God saved you by grace when you believed, and you see for by grace you have been saved through faith. See, you know, it's faith. It's faith that calls out to salvation. It takes the confession of your faith to receive Him. It comes. How is confession made? It's not made out of your head, but it's made with your mouth. That's why, like, you know, you guys, many you'll see, you know, when we have altar time. You know, it's, you know, if anybody's not saved and would like to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, you know, we want to open the altars. We want you to pray. Sometimes people understand that. Sometimes people don't. So we explain salvation. We explain the process that you're asking Jesus to come and live inside of you. You're going to become born again. And there's a real deep revelation of what it means. You know, salvation and being born again is. Man, there's a lot there. I'm not even going to go there tonight, but it's important that we understand that we as human beings can't save ourselves. That and I think, well, this is kind of elementary, and you know, but I think sometimes the revelation that we need to understand, the true grace of God. Because let me just keep moving here. You know, I wrote this down. It says the Bible says that Jesus Christ was not just a great man. He was God in human flesh. In other words, when you look at Jesus, you are looking at God. And all of the compassion, the love, and the mercy and power, only Jesus can say, "I and the Father are one." I and the Father are one. And you'll see that scripture reference out of John 10:30. Salvation through Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles. Let's go to John 14. John 14. It's Let's just pick up at verse 1, John 14, 1. It says, "Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord," I think it was Brandon and I were talking about the disciples the other day when Jesus chose the when he chose the 12 disciples, because he was, you know, he was overnight in prayer, and he comes and he pulls all the disciples together, and he's been praying about who to call out, and it's like, wonder why he picked Thomas, because Thomas was the doubter, right? You know, because Jesus chose the 12 out of the multitudes of people. But Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, and I share this passage, and I share this often with this house. Jesus said to them, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." John 14, 6. So it's important that you understand that there's no other way. There's no bridge. There's no there's not a priest that can get you into heaven. I'm not against Catholicism. I'm not here to talk about even that tonight. There's there's nobody in here that can get salvation to you other than Jesus himself and him being revealed to you. Now, you tell others about Jesus, yes. That's very important. But Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You know, you'll find that many people that believe in different philosophies of religion. You know, let's take Muhammad, or let's take Buddha, for example, or let's take Mormonism, for example. Joseph Smith, you know, that people would make him an iconic figure, you know, even in the Mormon church. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. So it's important that we don't deviate from how we are saved. Amen? So that's why I think everybody's kind of clear on that. So, but let me jump back into this. John 14, 6. Familiarize yourself with John 14. It's a very important, you know, John 13, 14, and 15. They're very powerful, powerful scriptures. You know, a question I want to leave with you tonight, and it was a question as I was preparing today, and I remember making this comment maybe a year ago or more. Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you have a belief in Jesus Christ? Because this is an important thing for you to examine in your own life. Now, I felt as the Lord was asking me this question today, and we're going to jump into Ephesians, but I felt like there were some strong points that the Lord wanted to make tonight. If we don't know why we're saved, and we don't have the understanding of salvation, and we can't explain that to somebody, well, you know, you can be saved and just make heaven. Everybody agrees, right? But God's called us to greater levels. I believe that. It's not that you just receive salvation. It's that we're called to complete the finished works of Christ that God's called us to. God's called everybody. You know, everybody has a calling and a purpose. You know, think about this. The body of Christ is made up of many parts, right? We need the many parts working in the body of Christ. So it's important for you to know in 2024 and 2025 why you believe what you believe. And I believe that the church, I believe that Christians, we've never seen a magnitude of persecution maybe like some nations have. But be able to give a reason for why you believe what you believe. You know, as I thought about this, and I thought, well, you know, I believe God because I've seen God do so many amazing things in my life. But above all else, the one thing that I examined today was my salvation. The grace of God that was bestowed upon me, that I could come into knowing him. See, it's not just about you receiving salvation, confessing salvation. It's about you knowing him. It's why I said you got to begin to make these, you know, why do you believe what you believe has to be personal with you. It's not what Pastor Brad or Pastor Miranda says. It's knowing God. You have to believe why you're saved. It's to know that you know that you know. And I know I've stressed that point before, but it's so important in this hour for the church. You know, somebody says Merry Christmas to you, they must be a Christian. No, you can go a little deeper than just saying Merry Christmas, right? Why do you believe what you believe? And I think Paul's examining this through scriptures. And salvation, please hear this tonight, salvation isn't something that you can do. Now, he does tell us, and he wants us to follow up with good works, and we're going to get into that tonight. But salvation itself is not something that you can't save yourself. I want to tell you tonight, you can live in salvation, meaning that you can live a saved life. But please understand this tonight. It's by the grace of God that you can do that. It's not something that if I just do enough of this, I'm going to receive salvation and I'm going to get closer to God. Now, we're commissioned to do good works. I'm jumping ahead. But I want you to catch this tonight because it's so important that you understand. You can't earn it. There's nothing in, you know, there's nothing that you can do to earn it. Take your Bible. So I want to give you another, I'm going to give you a Bible example. Let's go to Mark chapter 10, a biblical example, Mark chapter 10. For grace you have been saved through faith. So you have been saved through faith. You are saved through believing. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Many of you know this story. This is the example. Let's just get into it. Mark 10, verse 17. It says, "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother.' And he answered and he said to them," well, you know, he was like, "I got this. I got this." He says, do not murder, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your mother, your father and mother. And he answered and said to them, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him. Then Jesus, looking at him, what did Jesus do? He loved him. He loved him. See, you know what love does? Love is so compassionate. It jumps into truth. Because, see, truth for him was, I'm doing everything that I need to do to look the part, be the part, and act the part as a believer. I'm giving. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. I haven't committed adultery. I'm not defrauding people. But Jesus loved him. And I think that's really powerful that Jesus loved him. And he said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he said at this word, and he went away sorrowfully. Let me repeat this one more time. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and go give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowfully. For he had great possessions. God's grace. God's grace. Can I be very real tonight? What, you know, even in this story, he's not talking to a priest. He's not talking to an apostle. He's talking to a believer. And I believe that's it's very unique that God that God that catch this tonight, that God wants, he wants every piece of us. Every part of our being he wants. Like it's not like that you know, he wants us to, he wants every piece of us. You know, tonight I was coming here and I was talking with Miranda a little bit, just because, you know, I think sometimes it's to understand how gracious God is. And understand that this package of salvation and what's included in it. I remember it was probably 8 months, a year ago, maybe more, I'm not sure. We had been in worship and I was having a hard time. Wasn't anything Minister Lehow and them were doing on stage. I was having a hard time pressing into worship. I was having a hard time just letting go, right? You know, thinking, thoughts running through my head and looking around, thinking about this, thinking about security, thinking about, you know, and you don't know how much we appreciate people that serve, and, you know, even in capacities that they serve in, because there's a load that gets lifted off of people, pastors, when you preach, when you know you have kids, workers, you have, you know, it's a huge blessing, because it's, you know, really removes distractions. And I was like, Lord, I don't, you know, I was like, I remember at the point where I felt like I should just leave worship and come back in and preach. I'm the pastor. That's not, shouldn't do that, right? That's what some people do. They don't participate in worship. They just come in when they preach. I can understand that sometimes they do, so I'm not against that either. Some people flow differently. But as I stood there, and the Lord quickened me by the Spirit, and it was by the Spirit. And it's important to understand that, you know, we worship him in spirit and in truth. And the word that got into my spirit was, you're not worshiping me. And I was like, huh, I'm not worshiping him. And, you know, I was, you know, I was going through the motions. Everybody say grace. Because see, God's graceful. And so as I began to examine myself and examine my heart, and I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me that I'm not making this about you. That I'm trying to determine how I feel, how I feel here. How I may feel, you know, my body, how my body feels, whether or not I choose to go after the things of the Lord, whether I choose to worship him, whether I choose, because see, it was a block for me. It was a personal block. Like, I wasn't able to get into the place where I needed to get, and it was because of me. It wasn't because of God. God's not waiting, you know, I don't want to put that, you know, God's waiting on me. He's not up there. You know, just if Pastor Brad would just do this, I'll do that. You know, he already has what he wants to get to you. Amen. He wants to release things into you. He has those things. He knows. You know, it was Giselle that set it upstairs. He knows your beginning and he knows your end. He's the author and finisher of your salvation. He knows your beginning and knows your end. Wow, that's powerful. He knows you like that. He knows you like that. So I even at the place, and I'm thankful that we're this is a house that worships the Lord. But I never want to do things out of flesh or out of, well, I got to do it just because. I do it because of who he is. I do it because I'm bestowing my love upon him like he's bestowed his love upon me. Ephesians has really wrecked me, to be honest with you. Because if we can grab a hold of the very nature of God and the very love of God and come into the understanding, and I feel honestly, if we can understand even these passages of scriptures right here, that the grace, through the grace of God that we've received salvation. that we would remain more thankful, we would remain more diligent, we would be, what are you saved from? You're saved from a life of destruction. I am honestly, you know, and I wrote that down. I was like, I'm not going to talk about everything that the Lord saved me from, but I know what he saved me from. I know where I would be. Dead. How's that? Dead. You know, when you lose everybody out of your whole family, my brother's dead at 36, my mom's dead, my dad's dead, when everybody is out of your family that has died, you know, the natural side of things is like, you can't entertain, well, am I next? You can't. What you do is you wage war against that. You wage war against those thoughts. You wage war against that spirit that wants to play that game with you. Isn't that right, Minister Marr? You wage war, and you fight, and you fight, and you fight, and you keep fighting the good fight of faith. No, I shall live and not die. I thank you for long life. You will satisfy me. I thank you that with salvation, there's a promise. There's a promise in salvation. Grab a hold of this. Grab a hold of the very thing, he's given you this precious gift. It's such a precious gift. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God that he's given to you. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Guys, you know, this is continual in life. This is not something that you know that I'm sitting here telling you that you begin to have a perfect picture of it. You fight for this. Many of you have come in here, you've been sick. You come into worship, you praise the Lord, and your fever breaks, or your pain leaves, or something like that happens. Hey, that's been me too. That Minister Lehow, I know you don't care me to share, but when his father passed away, they went outside, they prayed, and they come back in here, and they got on instruments, and they worship God because they love God. They love God. Are you okay? Do you need to go? No, we're going to worship God. That I'm going to tell you, see, salvation has to be so real to us as believers. Guys, we shouldn't have to be convinced of our own salvation. And I know I'm not even getting through Ephesians here, but if we can take this to people. See, God's not slack, and it says this in 2 Peter 3. God's not slack concerning his promises. God's will, God's plan, God's plan. Everybody say God's plan. God, because see, God's plan is that none shall perish. So who's he called to the harvest field to go out and make these things happen? He's called the church. So catch this tonight. We don't just stop at salvation. We're not stopping at salvation. We're not stopping at salvation. We're going deeper. We're going further. We're going to grab a hold of the promises. We're going to unlock more of the things that God's given us so that we can continue on. We can continue on. Think about the walls of Jericho. If they would have stopped at the fifth day, sixth day, would the walls come down? No. No. We fight the good fight of faith. We fight the good fight of faith. Jesus looked in Matthew 10:17. Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying amongst themselves, who then can be saved? Who? But Jesus. Who? But Jesus looked. He looked at them and he said, with men, it's impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. That's powerful. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, you're going to find that salvation is found through him. The joy of salvation is found through him. The things that salvation when salvation takes place in the grace of God, is man, it's the rebirth, it's the being born again, the old man, the you know, see, we're conforming our mind to new things, amen, but your spirit man is alive. Aren't you thankful for conviction? Because that a year ago was conviction. That from the Holy Spirit was conviction. Know me. Know me deeper. Lord, I don't feel like. I mean, you know, honestly, for 2 weeks prior to that, I was just, I don't feel like being in worship. It wasn't, and like I said, it wasn't ministerly how. It wasn't like he was stuck on repeat singing the same song over. You know, it had nothing to do with him. Because you know what the reality is? If he sang the same song every week, my responsibility and my job, guess what it's to do? It's to go where he's at. It's to go where he's at. It's to press into him. It's to press into him. I was in a church that sang the same song about every week. We went to the enemy's camp and we took back. I think that was on repeat for about a year at our one church. You know? Take back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. We broke that out in Hana, and I remember Killa standing on the stage, and he started jumping up and down with a guitar, breaking strings, whole nine yards, huh? Jumping. He's under my feet. He would jump. He'd be playing the guitar at the same time. He's under my feet. He is under our feet. Amen. We're partakers, and see, this is the thing. It's done. It's done for you. You don't have to go back. You don't have to go back. It's done. It's done for you. When you come into salvation, it's done. It was already done for you. Now we just believe. Abraham, he believed. The Bible says he believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness because he believed. So people struggle with this. And guys, there are people around you that in your life, they struggle with belief. Is, you know, well, I've done this, I've said this, I've said that, but I'm just, you know, I'm you know, I don't know, God. No, we can know. That's what I'm talking about tonight. We can know that through our salvation, we have access to heavenly things. We can know through salvation God's grace. God's grace. God's grace is good enough. God's grace is merciful. God's grace is available to me. God's grace, he has poured out upon me time and time and time and time again. So we don't retrieve. We don't go back. We don't. You know, and I think you see the compare and contrast in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2. You'll see it throughout the first three chapters. The old man, the new man, the old man. And, you know, even Ephesians 2, it starts to talk about that. You used to be like this, but you're not like this anymore. So the old mindsets broke. How do we break old mindsets? Man, you build yourself up. You get baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you haven't received that, man, you had so much joy the other day in that membership class. Who in here's... You guys, everybody's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Yeah, we all got it. Praise God. Didn't you pray in Jude 1:20? You build yourself up in the most holiest faith. You pray in the Holy Ghost. You know, if you feel like, hey, I don't feel like worshiping today, begin to pray in the Spirit until you feel the breaking. Until, raise my hands. Let me even be on that. Your faith is action. You know, I can come in here and I can feel sick. I've had fevers preached. I'm on assignment. I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to declare the blood of Jesus. I'm going to do those things. You know, I'm going to speak. You know, I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak. His grace, you know. Paul said that, my grace is sufficient for you. Not Paul didn't say it, but Jesus said it to Paul. God said it. My grace is sufficient. See, it's his grace. We're partakers of salvation. It's done. It's completed. You know, it's like having nice things at home, right? You know, some of you guys have cool stuff at the house, right? You maybe you got a four-wheeler. Maybe you got something at the house. It's cool, right? You know, it's like, you know, you bought it, it's cool. Well, if you don't use it, you don't really enjoy it. So it's the same thing with salvation. If you don't get into the place of like understanding or using your salvation, you don't really enjoy salvation. You don't really enjoy salvation. Praise God. Is everybody okay? Okay. Okay, that's fine. It's God's gift. Salvation is God's gift. It's a free gift and it's given to you. Thankful. Amen. Aren't you thankful that it's a free gift? You don't have to earn it. You don't have to earn it. Let's look at verse 9. It says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What, you know, see, it's not of works that we can receive salvation. In Matthew 23:23, when Jesus, he talks about tithings in the New Testament. It's in Matthew 23:23, if you're ever curious, for those people that, and I don't think that's this church, but people, well, tithing's not in the New Testament. Yeah, it is. It's in the Bible. Matthew 23:23, Jesus, the Pharisees, they were bickering over you know, tithing their cumin and their herbs and all this stuff, and Jesus says, yeah, I want you to do this, but I also want you to do that. So, but even to understand, it's not that we boast about our salvation. You know, let me take it a step further. You can't give your way into heaven. You know, I remember a time when Miranda and I literally, somebody got disgruntled at church with us and wasn't here. How's that? That's good. It wasn't here. But they walked up to me and they said, you know, we're not going to give here anymore. And it's going to cost this church about $30,000 or $40,000. I said, okay. Have a nice evening. Have a nice day. See, that's the wrong mindset. Great that they're givers, right? Great that they're givers. Great that they're giving of their tithe. Right? That's awesome. It's in the Word. But the boastfulness is the control side of that. I'll say this because, you know, see, there's the do's and don'ts. We can't have do's and don'ts. We learn the Word of God. We apply the Word of God. It's why teaching is so important. It's why there's been a lot of teaching out of this house. You know, think about this. I mean, if you know, God had a sticker chart and everybody got a sticker for every time they did something good, when we all went to heaven, you know what it would be like. You know, everybody would be trying to one up each other. I got a sticker for this. I got a sticker for this. We don't get stickers. The Bible says, "Do good because of Him." We don't get, I got a sticker for doing this today. It's not that anyone should boast. Hey, listen, when you're sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord, when you begin to boast of yourself or of your ways, there'll be conviction. Don't ignore that. Don't ignore that. I remember there was a time in here about 4 years ago, and I was standing, and I think Brother Greg was in the conversation, and I made the comment that, well, I, and the Holy Spirit convicted me because it was like, you what? It was because I put the word I had seen, and it was like, hold up. No, the Holy Spirit, I did this. So it's not that we should boast about the things that God does in our lives. Amen. Now, please understand, there's the understanding of having a confidence and being boastful. Out of my spirit, when I made that comment, I knew that it was wrong. There was conviction. You repent when those things happen. There was conviction. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm being clear. Does that make sense? Everybody with me? Okay. There's the do's and don'ts. not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, we can have a confidence, a true confidence in Him. Let's look at verse 10, because this is, I'm going to kind of try to wrap it up right here. I had a little more, but I'm just taking time. I want to cover this. Because Paul goes on to say, he says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Amen. Listen, for we His workmanship, don't find fault in what He created. He created you. If I could just be this, if I could just do that. Da, 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 da. He created you. Amen. He created you. You're special to God. Amen. You're so special to Him. He created you. There's only one Larry. And God loves him. Amen. He loves you, Larry. Cassie does too, Larry. Do you understand? He's created you. You are His workmanship, His masterpiece. That word workmanship, it come out of the Hebrew and Greek. It comes from the word poem or poem, which is a fascinating word because God sees you as like, you know, if anybody's writing poems, it's like there's the art. You can read Psalms and you can see the art in the love that David possessed. Not everything was there, but that word masterpiece is like poem that God sees you as an art. He's created you. You're His masterpiece. You're His handiwork. So, you know, that's why, you know, as hard as it can be sometimes, it's like, I look at myself and I was like, oh, Jesus, I am fearfully, wonderfully made in Your image, and I thank You so much. You know, sometimes it's like, what is this? Where'd that come from? You know, You've created me, Jesus. Amen. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Yes. So you got to understand, because see what happens is you'll bring destruction on your life when you don't understand how precious you are to Him, how precious salvation, how precious the grace of God's been given to you. I'm beautiful because He's beautiful. You see what's a part of this package in salvation? I've got to cover this sometime soon. Salvation, sozo. For we His workmanship. See, God wants what He wants to do. You think about a masterpiece. You think about His workmanship. God's wanting to express Himself through you. He's wanting to express Himself through you. He's wanting to flow through you. He's wanting to work through you. Guess what He's done? He's created us. He's created us to work through us. Not stop it up. So that's why I'm saying it doesn't just stop at salvation. A lot of times we think, oh, I'm saved, I'm going to go to heaven. Awesome. Let's kick the devil in his head. Amen? Because he's under our feet. So let's not just stop here. Let's take as many people as we can with us. Let's disciple people. Let's grow people. Let's get people flowing. Amen. In their gifts. You know, it's one of the things the Lord's quickened me on. Last night I even told the men, I feel deeply about this coming year. It's like God's going to begin to orchestrate people and position people strong in certain things. And it's their calling and it's their purpose. The other night when we were singing, I'm telling you, there was a break when they began to worship and what we were singing. Now I have a purpose. Now I know my destiny. When you guys begin to sing that, it was like a declaration was being made in the house. Go back. I'm going to tell you what. Just go back to that and say that out of your mouth. For you know, what? How's that song go? Yeah, there we go. Now I have a purpose. Now I have a destiny. You know, make that declaration out of your mouth. Make that declaration out. You know, no, God, I am this. I have this. Now I have a purpose. Maybe you walked in here tonight and you think, I don't know what my purpose is. I'm telling you, God's getting ready to help you find it. And you're going to find it. You're going to find it. You're going to find it. We first have to catch the revelation that it's, I can't save myself. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. It's not a salvation message tonight, but if you don't have the revelation of your salvation and what He's done and the grace that He's poured out, you'll run from God. I've got to just, if I just do this, do one more thing, I'll be more saved. If I just quit doing this, I'm going to be, He wants to work those things out of you. But receive salvation. Receive the grace of God. You know how many people, the enemy, what he does is like, they get saved, and then it's like they can easily get persuaded or pulled away. Isolation, for whatever reason, there's so many things that can come against a person. But you ever meet a Christian when you ask them, do you know the Lord? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm saved. I'm born again. You ever meet somebody like that? You ever try to minister or witness somebody? And then you ever meet somebody, it's like, well, I'm trying to do good. Guys, listen, what I'm talking about tonight is that you can know that you know that you know that you're born again and that you're saved. The grace of God, we need the grace of God. The grace of God will help us. But there has to be an army of God's people that begin to rise up that know who they are in Him. You'll see it in Ephesians. The old man, the new man. I am in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm going to confess that I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a victor. I'm a victor. I'm going to win. Amen. I keep winning. Because once we can begin to separate the old man from the new man, you don't have to waver back and forth. Weeble wobble, right? You don't have to go back and forth. Old man, new man, old man, new man. You don't have to do that. Old man comes in, you mess up, you kick him in the head. Nah, I'm coming back into being the new man again. His grace is sufficient. God, thank you for saving me. I got saved a lot of times when I first started going to church. I don't know if there's anybody in here, but I did. There was an altar call. I better go up and get saved again. Altar call from the back row. Does anybody in here need salvation? I sat in the back of the church when we first started going to church. It's where sinners sit, right? They sat in the back. My wife, she was a sinner, so I'm joking. It's a joke, Randy. I sit in the back, but I sit in the back so I could keep an eye on everybody, right? So I have the altar call. Is anybody in here? Just raise your hand if that's anybody in here. It was down here. It wasn't over here because he didn't want the pastor to see, right? It's like right here. Anybody dealing with thoughts? You need prayer? Just raise your hand. It's right here. And see, what I didn't have revelation of early on was God's grace. It was there for me all along. God's grace is there for you all along. It's there for you. You never quit searching. You never quit going. You never quit going after Him. You never quit desiring a deeper relationship with Him. If you have problems, you get back into the relationship. I can't stress that enough tonight. If you have something going on, get back into your relationship with Him. Work on that relationship with Him. Watch this though. Because see, when you work on the relationship with Him, you know what He's going to point you towards? It's not yourself, it's people. He's going to point you towards being good and doing good works that involve others around you. He wants you healed, He wants you well, He wants you whole so that you can be a vessel for Him. It's not like when you've messed up and it's like, okay, I haven't messed up for 3 months. I'm doing good. And it's like you're within yourself. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I don't do this anymore. I don't do this anymore. See, what God's wanting you to do is he's wanting to take you to another level. He's wanting to take you into a place of doing his good works. He did a good work in you, right? He's done this in you, but now that you take that and you go and impart that, or you go and give that. I'll tell you, you got to go lay hands on everybody, but it's that you go and you give what he's put in you now. God's healed me. It's why your testimonies are so important. It's why God, he builds up and he builds that up in people so that you can go and you can share what he's done. See, more people need to know what he's done. Not what I've done. Not what I've done. You know, I was praying downstairs last night before the men came in. And I was praying and I was just, I've been a big baby for about a week now. I just crying. I was like, what, Lord? Mary and I spent Tuesday just praying and in the word and just getting in it for this church and for this people, for you guys. I mean, we're doing it because we're believing the Lord for breakthrough. And I said, Lord, I never ever want to look and say, Lord, look at what we've done. You know, look at what we've accomplished. I'm thankful for what we've seen so far. But, Lord, I pray that, you know, Laren and Austin, I was thinking about them last night, and I was praying for the boys. And I was just like, you know, I want them to be old and gray hair, and their boys are leading a men's meeting down here. And saying, you know, this men's meeting started back in 2019, and it's now 2050. How did it start? You know, maybe there's a journal book somewhere where we've written out, like, how Ray come to the meeting. He was going to the another building, Knights of Columbus or something. Heard there was a men's meeting here. Those are great testimonies. Brother Stephen, I don't even know how, did somebody invite you here? Yeah, who invited you? PJ, yeah. Yeah, PJ. See, God uses people. God will use PJ. You don't give up on people. You know? Even people hate you or mad at you. You don't give up on people. You don't give up on people. And it would be a book like that of testimonies. Who's Stephen? They look at Stephen. He's a preacher. He's in his 80s now, preaching the gospel. Guys, that's the living God that I see. I see what he wants to do now with us. It's a very small amount of time that we're here. Very small amount of time. Let's do as much as we can do for him. I have to. I mean, it's God's commissioned me for certain things, and I know that, and I've had to examine my own heart and pray. Not going anywhere. We're just getting ready to. We're going to go a little quicker now. I know that. I see what the Lord's doing. I don't know. I didn't get very far. I want to close this out. For we his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God knew you. He knew you were going to get saved. He knew. And you know, he knows your story. You don't know your full story yet. You know, Pastor Brian Reynolds always says, let's get some points on the board for the Lord. And I said, that's really good, you know. Let's do things. Let's do good. Let's get points on the board. Let's get points on the board for the Lord. Yeah, I wrote that down like three times. Anytime you're struggling with behavior, go back to relationship. I think the Lord was speaking to me. I'll say this, do it because of him. Fall in love because of who he is. It's great learning from people, but it's fall in love because of who he is. Fall in love with him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you've not really spent a lot of time with Ephesians, it's a great book. It's a great book. Verse 11, 12, 13, you know, it's a compare and contrast, who you used to be. Here's Paul saying it again, this is who you used to be, but not anymore. Hey, I used to be this, but not anymore. That's our testimony. I used to be this, but not anymore. God's grace is sufficient for me. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. How's your knee, Justin? Is it better? Okay. Well, let me know. I feel like the Lord healed it. I believe the Lord healed it. Amen. 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 Well, praise God. Got any hunters in the house? Tyler's like, ugh. Shoot a big buck next week. Anybody need an extra meat? Raise your hand for those hunters. And Miranda's raising her hand. She's like, your husband's got to go to the woods to get a deer or two. Amen. So, amen. Well, God loves you guys. Anybody here tonight? Anybody, you know, salvation? I want to open that up. Is there anybody here tonight? You would say, hey, Pastor, I need to know him. I need to know him. I need to give my heart to him. I need to confess him. I need to know him. I need to know about this relationship. If that's anybody here tonight, you'd say, hey, that's me. Just raise your hand and we're going to pray with you. If that's anybody here tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, have a great Wednesday night, and let me bless you on the way out. Hey, God loves you guys. I'm thankful for everybody. I'm thankful for this house. Thankful for everything God's doing. God loves you.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life, make me brand new, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.